Tales of a Darknet Vendor. For 7 years, I would go by the username IneedOil420. This would be my username talking to drug dealers online. This story will span a few chapters, but for the introduction, I want you to know a little bit about me. I'm a 26-year-old male who's been in recovery for a year and a half. I'm finally ready to tell my story. This podcast will be my platform. The first few episodes will be the story of how I got involved, how my time spanned, and how it ended. Then we will move into where I am now, and we'll see where it goes from there. But first, I want to tell you the story of how a normal 18-year-old kid goes off to college and decides to throw it all away to become
Chapter 1,
college. When I was 18, I graduated high school, and I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. I was forced on around 20 college tours, and I never really connected with any of the schools. My family did not want me to go out of state, and because I was lucky enough to not have to pay for college, I was able to go to school in my state for a much discounted rate. I decided this would be the best choice for me instead of getting loans to go to a better named school. Immediately once I got there, I was shocked. In high school, I used cannabis socially, and I knew that's something I was going to want to do in college. And when I got there the first night, we went and partied as a floor. And we went out on the town, and the only cannabis that was available was brickweed. If you don't know what that is, it's sticks and stems. It's compacted. It's imported from Mexico. And someone who grew up in an affluent neighborhood, I was in shell shock. I'm used to indoor quality cannabis, high quality cannabis, and this blew my mind. At first, I would travel from my college, from about 4-hour drive to my home at the time, the first month to purchase cannabis from my high school drug dealer to bring back to college. As I started to gain more friends in my building, one of my other friends brought up the dark web. He brought up the Silk Road. This was in 2012. I was a freshman. So me being a computer nerd and a information systems major, I dove right into researching and learning anything I could about it. Within a few weeks, I was educated in Bitcoin, and I was able to see everything that was there. And I was able to access the marketplaces, and I was pretty confident in my ability to put through an order. At this time, purchasing Bitcoin involved going to a gas station and with a deposit slip, and then that Bitcoin would automatically be sent to your Silk Road marketplace wallet. My first purchase was an ounce of weed from Texas, and it was $78. And we were mind blown. It took 3 days to show up. After this first order, we were set on using this as our new drug dealer. We started going through every page of the cannabis listings on the Silk Road, and we started to figure out what we wanted to spend our money on. For about 2 months, this would be what we did. We would pool our money together as a group, and we would purchase high-quality flour shipped in from California. I would then go home over Christmas break, and I would go to see my stoner friends from high school, and I would walk into their garage, and they would having a freaking paint mask on with a huge glass tube, and they'd be blasting butane into a Pyrex dish. And this is my first time seeing this. I have no idea what they're doing. They pull the mask off and they say, "Hey, dude, we're making some dabs. You want to try?" And I was like, "I have no idea what this is. Please explain." So they say, "Well, we're using the BHO to process the oils out of the plant matter. And what's left once the BHO evaporates is dabbable hash. And I was like, that's cool. I'll give it a shot. It's cannabis. And I remember that first dab getting higher and higher and higher. So I would take this experience back with me to college. And I would tell my friends, yo, we should look into concentrates, hash, things of that nature. So that would be our first purchase back, would be hash-related products. During this time, the first semester of college, along with the friends I made in my building, I was also in the process of starting a fraternity. The college I went to was on the outskirts of the state and did not have a large Jewish population. And I was in the process of starting a fraternity with some friends I made that first semester. I would go home during break and I would tell my friends from high school, hey, while I was at college, I've been using the Silk Road. Would you guys like to try it over break? And they said, sure. So we pooled our money and we put in an order for some hash. And it worked out great. And we were able to split it up and they were mind blown. This was their first time learning about Bitcoin. And it was very interesting to them. They didn't really understand it that much, but they were willing to learn. I would go back to college the second semester of freshman year. And at this point, I was more involved in getting my fraternity started. And I was spending more of my free time with them. And I would spend most of my time with socializing with the fraternity. The friends I made first semester, I was living with. So they were always around me, but I wasn't socializing as much with them. My second semester of college was spent mostly getting my fraternity started. When I returned after the summer for sophomore year, one of my pledges came to me and asked me if I was able to source any sort of high-quality cannabis in bulk. At the time, I didn't really know if I would be able to, and I'd have to get back to him. I would then go home and browse the dark web and see what I could do. I saw a very wide range, anywhere between $700 to $1,200 a half pound, and it was broken up by quality. Anything from brick weed all the way up to indoor grown high quality cannabis. I would go back to him and I said to him, you know, I don't have any money, but if you're willing to foot the bill, I can get you a high quality half pound for around $1,000. This was great news for him because he was spending close to $1,200 driving all the way downstate home to pick this product up to sell in the dorms. So he would front me the money and I would purchase him the product. And this worked out great the first time. I was able to make around $300. And we would do this for about a month and a half until I was able to make my own side money saved up to purchase this product up front. After about that month and a half, I was purchasing close to a pound a week for him beforehand and just cycling through as he went through it. First semester sophomore year was a large turning point. It was the growth in my business and it was also a growth in my understanding of Bitcoin. I also purchased my first car with my own money. A month and a half into the year, my business was going strong. One of my friends introduced me to another student who was looking to source a much larger amount of cannabis, an amount that I was not accustomed to or comfortable with. After long consideration and a basically cocky attitude, I thought, yes, I could do this. So we started a relationship. Basically, he said, I can move as much of this product as you can get in because of the quality. At the time, this area was not known for having anything close to as good as stuff coming out of California. Our relationship was quick. Product would come in, he would come over, he would take it, he would leave. No friendship, nothing else. Money was always on point, always took the product the way it was. At the time, I was in the process of applying to study abroad in Italy for my second semester, sophomore year, and I didn't want to lose this relationship. So I turned to one of the friends I was living with at the time, and I said, would you be willing to be the handoff guy if I took care of everything else? You just meet him and exchange money for goods. And he agreed for a small portion of the profit. So I was thrilled. I was able to move quality cannabis, bringing fun times to the school I was going to, and I was making money doing it. I didn't see anything wrong with this at the time. I was accepted to this travel abroad program for sophomore year, second semester, and I would follow my girlfriend to Italy. While in Italy, I would continue doing this business, ordering the product, money would come in, product would be sold, product would be reordered, product would come in, and so on. This would last throughout my whole time in Italy until the end of the semester. My customer contacted me through my friend and basically said, you know, I appreciate everything, but our time here is done. I said, okay, that's fine. That's great. I appreciate it. Thank you. I just got off a plane. I'm back in America after spending a whole semester in Italy traveling with my girlfriend at the time. I'm in a good mood. I have my money saved that I was able to make while traveling. I was in another country, but I just lost my one customer. So I was a little concerned about where I was going to make my next move, but I wasn't in a bad place. About a week into getting home from Italy, my girlfriend at the time was diagnosed with some sort of tumor inside her abdomen. And at the time, I was not in the best mindset to handle something so serious as cancer. And this allowed me to justify looking into other products on the dark web to sell to make money while my girlfriend was sick and fighting cancer. This was a eye-opener for me because at the time, I was really only in the cannabis section of the darknet. When my girlfriend got sick and I jokingly said, you know, oh, I wish there was something else I could sell, one of my friends who I was hanging out with said, well, if there's any way you could get Xanax, that would be a profitable business. So being curious, I went home and I looked at Xanax vendors on the dark web, and I found one who was selling bulk pressed Xanax pills. This was my first time ever seeing this side of the dark web. To rephrase, my girlfriend at the time, they found the tumor, but it was benign. So it was non-cancerous. This knocked her out. She had to go into emergency surgery. They removed the tumor. She then spent a week in the hospital recovering and a month and a half at home recovering. I would spend a lot of my time with her, but also traveling home to make sure sales were okay with my business. I was able to find a friend through a friend that really needed this Xanax. The kid I initially mentioned, he was a user, but he wasn't a large seller, but he knew that people were looking for this product. He was able to introduce me to someone that was able to move this product, and I was able to start purchasing this product for the first time online. And just like the cannabis, I would purchase it. It would come in, they would take it, I would get the money, and that would be it. I would charge a markup for the product, and that's how I would make my money. Our relationship would start that summer, and it would span almost 2 years where we would meet almost monthly for a large amount of Xanax. The product would be exchanged for the cash, and we would go our separate ways. This was my main source of my income throughout this time. Luckily, my girlfriend recovered perfectly and she would head back to college for her junior year. Normally, a little bit weaker, a little bit skinnier, but normal. At the time, I didn't know where I wanted to go, and I decided returning back to my school was not a good idea. I was a little bit lost, and I didn't know where I wanted to be with my education. I would spend a year, her junior year, living back in my hometown area, mainly selling this product to my one buyer and traveling to see my girlfriend at the time. I was in a loose mind state where I just couldn't focus. This business relationship was good. I was able to make good money for the year it worked out. And I was happy with it. But during this year, I started to develop a very deep drug problem. I started to expand my searches on the dark web, and I started experimenting. And this was when my money started to be spent, and my time wasn't spent well. My girlfriend would then go on to graduate college, and I would be in the deeps of drug addiction. I watched her graduate. She did amazing. She would then spend the summer looking for work, trying very hard to find a job. She found a job in Florida, and we decided to pack up and start our lives together. At the time, I lost that business connection again and was put back in the same space without a customer. We would move to Florida, and I would think, in my drug-idled stupor, that becoming a darknet vendor was my answer. At the time, I thought this was a good idea. Looking back, it was a terrible idea. I would do research, I would look into videos, and I would commit my time to learning everything I could about the production of Press Xanax. I got so heavily involved, I purchased an automated pill press. But for some reason, my own unwillingness to read the directions or trial and error, I was really never able to get it to work properly. I did start my vendor account. I did post product, but whenever I went to actually get the pill press to work, it just could never properly function. After tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it, it just never properly functioned. I'm a year and a half into living with my girlfriend in Florida, and all I have to show for it is this broken, never working pill press, a very, very small amount of money in my savings, and a vendor account with more money tied up in it than actually available. I took a deep look back and I decided, you know, I think I'm done with this. I think I'm ready to move on. I decided that day, just like that, I'm done. I continued to then get everything that was in my apartment that I was living in Florida and start chucking it down the trash. Everything. Mailing receipts, tracking numbers, everything. Just anything I had in the house, I started throwing away. I took the pill press that was in my home. I took it apart so that it couldn't be reused by someone else, and I drove to the ghetto of my area and I chucked it into some woods. Cleaned out the house to the best of my ability, and decided that I should head home to spend some time with my parents as they're getting older in age. Now, I've been home for about a month, and I go check the local news, the digital news, and the top line is Alpha Bay Market seized by FBI. And I go, wow, this is crazy. They got the last marketplace. That was the market that I was using right before I decided to quit. No less than a week and a half later, I get a phone call from my girlfriend letting me know that a federal search warrant was executed at our apartment in Florida. And this was the first time this has ever happened to us. The whole place was torn apart. Searching, they left a receipt of what they took. And it was shocking, traumatic for her and traumatic for everyone. We had to get lawyers, and everything kind of froze at that point. I was able to hire a very good lawyer who was able to get in contact with the district attorney of the area and arrange, basically, because everything was found in the apartment that she was living in, she was also involved. And he said, if you come in for a meeting, call the queen for a day meeting. We can ignore the fact that we found a firearm in the apartment and we'll focus on you and not your girlfriend. And I thought this was a great deal. And I decided at the time to take that deal with my lawyer and come in for a meeting about a month after the initial search warrant. So I would then head back to Florida and live with my girlfriend, and I would go in for this meeting. It would be my lawyer and prosecutors and agents. It would last about 3 hours, and it would basically be me telling you exactly this story from start to finish. I was required to be truthful. I couldn't lie, and that would be the story of my life. At this point, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if I'm going to jail. I don't know what's going on, but I know I need to tell the truth. So I go into this meeting. I tell the whole truth, and my lawyer is with me the whole time, and the meeting has a positive outcome, and I'm able to work with this prosecutor and work with these agents over the span of almost a year and a half of how long I've been clean, and help them get a better understanding of what a darknet customer is, a very socially locked in person who has the access to purchase drugs. And sometimes they're young, and they police were very well aware that this is going to be the future of consumer drugs, where you don't have to leave your couch anymore. You just need to go onto a specific website. So about a few months ago, I signed some paperwork closing the three cases that were opened in different federal agencies, the ATF, DEA, and then Homeland Security, closing those out, getting my passport back and my property that was taken during the raid, which is why I feel comfortable finally telling this story. Now, you know, this story is edited and some stuff is left out to go into deeper depth in the future. But in a nutshell, this is my life. For the past year and a half, I've been getting clean and sober, and that has been an adventure of its own. It started out with therapy, which led to medication, which turned out to not be the best. The medication caused me to gain close to 40 pounds. I decided to see an IBS doctor, and for the first time, I saw my weight at 302 pounds. And felt terrible on top of the fact that I'm on this medication that's supposed to make me feel good. I decided at that point I was going to take my health into my own hands. I decided to stop taking the Lexapro and I moved to medical cannabis. I qualified for medical cannabis because of my IBS due to a hernia that I've had for a few years. Once I started the medical cannabis and moved away from the pharmaceuticals, I was much more active. I started to attend activities more, and I started to go out more. Just by weekend exercise and being more active, I was able to lose all this weight that I gained through the Lexapro. And once I was back down to my normal weight, I was then able to start looking at other medications. One medication worked for about a month and a half, but after a month and a half, over this past summer, I had a terrible reaction. The medical cannabis was interfering with the drug, and it was causing me to have delusions of grandeur and delusions of communication and just crazy, crazy delusions and not understanding what was real and what was fake. This would be the worst reaction I've ever had to a medication, and it took about a month and a half of taking it for it to actually take full effect. This reaction would cause me to go get help in a clinical setting because the reaction was so aggressive. They watched me wean off of the medication because I was on it for so long, and I was able to transfer back to just my normal medical cannabis usage. After trying two medications and having such horrible reactions, I've turned to just exercise as my usage for getting my energy up and my anxiety down. For the past 6 months, I've been single because of my reaction to my last medication was so aggressive and so violent that me and my girlfriend decided it would be best to separate and to break up and to focus on ourselves for the time being. I was able to start really putting in effort into my exercise routine about a month ago, once I was cleared by my doctor for more aggressive cardiovascular exercise. Now, being a year and a half sober, and reflecting back on the whole 7 years, I'm much happier to be where I am today. And I'm also happy that I'm able to tell this story now. I know I've probably left out some parts, and I wasn't able to go that deep into detail, but I will go deeper into detail as this podcast develops into the little things like what's the lifestyle like? What were the cars? What did you do with your money when you had it? How much did you have? How luxurious was it really? That I can go deeper into, but I didn't feel like it was necessary for the story. I also focus on how I'm getting better and how I'm getting healthier for other people who may be struggling with addiction or just weight loss in general. And we'll see where it goes. I've spoken to other people online who have also been in recovery who use the dark web, and I think they would make excellent guests to have on the podcast as well. And I will also be taking advice from listeners. As listeners develop over time, I will post up an email address where anyone could shoot over a question or a comment.
Thank you for listening
to the introduction to Tales of a Darknet Vendor. My hope is to come back and dive deeper into more topics, ranging from specific marketplaces like the Silk Road and how revolutionary that was, to how Bitcoin has changed our online financial interface. Really, whatever interests me at the time and what interests my audience. This was just a brief introduction to my 7 years as a user of these marketplaces. I didn't really go into depth of what I was purchasing or why I was purchasing it. I just told you what my business was and how that business succeeded and failed. The dark web allows anyone with enough money to purchase any drug they would like, good or bad, no judgment. That's what it does. We will dive into deeper topics at a later date, but for now, I hope everyone is social distancing. I hope everyone is exercising. I hope everyone is enjoying good food and enjoying company of their families and just having a peaceful home as we try to figure out what the heck is going on with the coronavirus. I hope to put up some more recordings as time goes on. Until next time, I need oil 420, or give me oil 420 is signing out.